Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 40, our final day of our journey with Jesus, a Lenten reflection. Before we get started, we invite you to look in the show notes and download from the two links that are there the calendar that has all 40 scriptures that we've discussed over the last 40 days, as well as the cumulative study guide. And each one of those pages were over 100 and something pages.
We're like 124, I think, right now.
124 pages of deep dive material that we couldn't squeeze into our time here on the podcast. But we did our research. We did our best to add all the details that can give you a deeper dive as you study each of these scriptures. And we invite you to, there's so much more, even in those pages, there's so much more. So download those items and just dig into the word.
Yeah. Very much so.
So, honey, I know that this is a long scripture to read, but as we discussed it, we felt there's so many nuggets in this that it's just so powerful that we wanted to read the whole thing. So would you read, what is it, John 21 through 31?
I think we should point out, though, first that we're skipping ahead because this scripture talks about Resurrection Sunday.
Correct.
We are in Saturday and we don't broadcast on Sunday. And really, there wasn't a whole lot that transpired on Saturday.
There were a few things, though.
There were a few things, you know, like the
preparing of the body for
the
burial.
The preparing of the body by Joseph of Arimathea, and
the spices were purchased by Nicodemus.
Yeah. So there were a few things that are recorded in there, and those are all good to read and study. And it's good to know that some of the stories that you read throughout the ministry of Jesus are finalized there, and you see that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are actually coming around, and they're not hiding in the shadows anymore.
Sure. And there's that time of waiting, that period of waiting to fill that three-day period. So he's there, but they couldn't prepare the body because it was during the Sabbath. So they had to wait till after sunset to go in there and prepare the body. So they couldn't have the body, you know, hanging on the cross then. So they took it down, got it into the tomb. Then there was the Sabbath, you know, all these rules of the old law that had to be followed.
Yeah. And it's interesting to note in the scriptures, it talks about the reason that they took it to Joseph's tomb was because it was almost the Sabbath, and that was very close to where Jesus was crucified. They didn't have time to go any further, so he just said, here, take him to my tomb, we'll lay him in there. That particular conversation isn't transcribed into the scriptures, but from what they say, you can kind of see that that's how it would have transpired, because it says they took him to that tomb because it was close. And so, you know, they were pushing that 6 o'clock thing really closely in order to get Jesus laid in the tomb.
So here we are, Resurrection Sunday, in our talk today.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we will read from John chapter 20, verse 1 through 31. Whatever you're doing, I encourage you to just set it aside and really listen and let these words paint the image in your mind of the events that happen.
And also, before you get started, we would invite you to go back and also look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mm-hmm. They come in from different viewpoints and they add additional nuggets to this story of what occurred, the events of Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. So in reading those and preparing for this, we found different things. We're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool that they recorded that and this piece. And you could see where they all are golden threaded through each other.
Yeah. It's like the complete story. You have to read all four to get all the little nuggets. And mm-hmm. then you integrate them and you see how they all fit together. Some will mention something, some won't. It's really a cool thing. And perhaps we'll put that at the end of our study notes.
That would be good.
Yeah. We'll add that into our downloads. I just remembered that. So that will be an additional tool that will help you walk through the Gospels and see the events as they transpired in order. So let's look at John 20. We'll start with verse 1. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name.
So good.
So much here. So much. Oh.
What stands out to me, there's a lot of things that stand out to me.
Right?
There's a lot of signs. There's a lot of using our senses. I know in this world, you know, we look for those signs. We look for the, oh, well, let me see if this happens, then I know God loves me, or that happened because of God. But I have to see it. I have to hear it. I have to be able to touch it.
When I see it, I'll believe it.
Or when I hear it. Mm-hmm. So I heard, when you were reading, I heard that Mary heard his voice because she didn't recognize him. So she heard. Mm-hmm. And the disciples, they saw him appear when the doors were locked. Mm-hmm. So there was no way that anyone could have come in there. So the doors were locked.
Yep.
And with Thomas, it seems like it is him knowing that those things that he said those things about, I'm going to put my hand in him. And he said those things and then he repeated it. So he heard.
Yeah, he was there. He knew.
He knew. Oh my gosh. He was in the presence when I said those things before. So there's a lot of both seeing and hearing that they don't believe unless they've seen that or heard that.
Yeah. And there's also that passage in Luke. Was it in Luke? The two disciples on the road to Emmaus?
Yes.
He was teaching them. Was it Luke 24?
It was Luke 24. It starts at 13 when they're walking. And then it goes down to 28. So as they're walking, he's saying things that they should have known in hearing. He's talking about the fact that anyone should know if they've read the Old Testament that this is the Messiah. So he talks about that. But then when they near the village, they invite him, who they don't know it's Jesus, who's traveling with them all day long. They invite him in to stay because it's getting dark. And they sit down to eat, and he breaks the bread. And they're like, oh, it's you.
Because they saw.
Yeah, they saw.
And they recognized. And you know what's interesting about that story? It's generally the host who breaks the bread.
Who breaks the bread.
So him being the guest and him breaking the bread.
Right.
Broke the protocol.
Well, and also when Mary... Was it Mary that saw the cloth?
No, that was Peter.
So when Peter...
Oh, it was John that came in after him and noticed the cloth being separate, this handkerchief that was around his head.
So it's funny, if you don't realize this, Rick had to point this out to me. But when they talk about the other disciple, it's actually John referring to himself. And it's kind of funny because he says that the other disciple ran ahead of him and beat him to the tomb. Is there a little competition there?
Yeah, I think that was a little jab at Peter, you think?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Who would just be like, no, I'm faster than you. I can imagine that.
That brings back that one episode in the...
Chosen.
In the Chosen that we're watching, and they were all joking about Peter not being able to run. You remember that?
Yes.
And so this kind of continues on with that. It's interesting.
So when he leaned in to the tomb, He saw the linen cloth that was on Jesus's body, mm-hmm. but he also saw, they call it a handkerchief folded neatly separate from that.
Mm-hmm.
And in this time, I remember a story where you talked about going to a fancy restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was amazing to watch the waiter, the attendant of the table, because it was this big fancy business dinner,
mm-hmm.
and watch him look at everybody when they get up. And you said, if they crumble the napkin, that means that they're not, you know, coming, they're not coming back, so they're done. So in these times, a wadded napkin would mean they're not coming back, they're finished. But a folded up one would mean I'm coming back. So there Jesus left that.
Mm-hmm. Just a little hint that if they were paying attention, they should have got.
Right. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And what's interesting in the story is how the Holy Spirit just plugged that in mm-hmm. as an aside. And it seems like it's kind of, why in the world would they think that that was important,
you know,
to throw in there?
Because when
it's one of those little details that if you do the digging, you go, oh my gosh, that is so amazing.
Because when you read it again, it says, and he saw the linen cloth lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place it's by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems kind of odd in the scripture.
Yeah. Like, that's something that is really important to point out when you're investigating the tomb of your Lord and Savior, whose body used to be there and is not now.
They're like, but the thing was
folded
over there.
But the handkerchief was folded and laying off to the side.
Yeah.
All by itself. Why is that important? Well, you dig in and you find out that particular custom of the day, the servant, if he saw his master fold the napkin, would not touch his stuff because he knew the master was coming back.
So cool.
Yeah. Good little tidbits in this passage.
And I know that I'm going to keep going back to this, but our ministry is founded on the promises of, or the prophecy of Isaiah 53:5, the promises told in 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes, we were healed.
Sozo.
And we need to just believe it. We need mm-hmm. to stop looking for signs. We need to stop saying, I'll believe when I see it. Instead, what do you say?
No, believe it, then you'll see it.
Yeah.
That's the way faith operates in the kingdom of God. In everything. You didn't get salvation until you believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Same thing happens with healing. Same thing happens with deliverance. Same thing happens with prosperity. All of it.
All of it.
All of the pillars of Sozo in every realm of your existence have to be preceded by believing it.
Well, look at our situation coming here. I just kept going, oh, it's not working out. It's just, God must not want this. God must not. And I mean, I should know better. We preach this. And I remember that moment when we're like, okay, we're going to put everything in our hands. All that worry, all that fear, all that stuff that the enemy is trying to do, and we're going to trust. And we just open our hands and let that all go up to God. And we're like, okay, we're done. We are done. Mm-hmm. God's got this. And then it just was like clockwork. Boom. And here we are in this amazing haven of angels, preparing it for people to come here and get out in nature and find the Lord mm-hmm. and get into closer relationships. So then I know in instances where people are ill and they're looking for the miracle, but they want to see it and just not believe it. They are listening to the doctors that do not, for the most part, have knowledge of the scripture.
You're not going to get encouragement in the scripture and in believing God.
Not all.
From most doctors.
Now, when I went to my doctor here, the new doctors, and there were scriptures engraved on little plaques all over, I knew I was in the right place.
Yeah.
So when you...
such a blessing to find one who truly believes, and then if you find one who will pray with you, Oh, my absolutely. Goodness. There are those out there, so I'm not totally negative, but the world system, the world medical system, will not encourage you to trust the Lord and believe in the promise that by His stripes you were healed.
Mm-hmm. And we were given that authority.
Mm-hmm.
We were given the authority. He said,
go.
Here, take this, go. And
heal the sick.
Heal the sick, including yourself.
Yeah, so, I was gonna say, how can you heal the sick if you're not well?
Right. So getting your body in alignment by, you know, we talked about this, by talking to your body, speaking, saying, get in alignment, speaking that word. We talked to the other, a few podcasts
ago. Mark 11, 23 and 24.
Yeah, you have to speak it. So speak it out loud and say, body, get in alignment. And enemy, no. Mm-hmm. Stop saying those things, because that's not allowed in this house. It's not allowed in my body. It's not allowed in my family. You need to speak that out loud and do not give him authority mm-hmm. in your life.
Yep. And it has to come from a heart that believes and doesn't doubt.
Can't come from a withered or a tree that doesn't have fruit. The Holy Spirit needs to be, yeah, let that Holy Spirit shine,
yes.
But clear your heart. Let the Holy Spirit in there and really tune into the Holy Spirit. Stop like Nehemiah and pray when you have doubt or you have questions or fear. Like stop, just stop and pray and have conversation with the Lord.
You know, it's interesting that story. Jesus was talking to someone who, I believe it was his son, was possessed with a demon, and the disciples couldn't cast it out. And Jesus, in his usual kind, gentle way, said, bring him here to me. Oh, you of little faith. And he asked the father of the son, do you believe that I can do this and heal your son? And the father's response was interesting. He says, I believe, Lord, help me in my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
That's a valid prayer. You know, if you struggle with just letting go of the doubts and the unbelief or the disbelief, ask the Lord, Lord, I believe that you are a God who honors his word above his name. Help me in my unbelief. Help me get to the point where I believe your word more than what my body is telling me, more than what circumstances are telling me, more than what the world or the doctor or the banker or anything else is telling me. You know, your checkbook talks to you. Your checkbook can talk to you, and it's not gonna usually tell you what you want to hear. Talk back to it and say, you're not the boss of me. My God said he would provide for all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That means in proportion to his riches and glory. I don't think he's sweating the small stuff. I think he's got plenty to go around.
It's funny when you say that to me when I'm, you know, pinching pennies and doing things that I do because that's how I was raised. You're like, he's not going to sweat the small stuff. And if we're doing this and we're asking for this from the ministry, because a lot of the things that we're asking for to prepare this property, you're like, stop. And then when I stop, then there it is. I'm like, how did we get that refund check? Or how did that happen?
Always.
Or
always.
How, yeah, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
The Lord takes care of his kids in every realm.
Amen. Amen.
Always.
I want everyone to know this. I want everyone to know
yep.
what you have been given. You are joint heirs in all of that.
Yes,
every single thing that Jesus has.
Everything.
Everything.
There's nothing that you could ever need in any area of your life that hasn't already been provided. The first step is finding it in the Word. Finding where God told you about it. The next step is believing it more than you believe the circumstances that are telling you otherwise.
And then remember, that enemy?
Oh, he's wicked. He's a liar. He is the liar of liars.
And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his three motives: to separate you from the Father, to draw a wedge in, to make you
doubt,
and to be fearful, and to be anxious, and to be worry. I remember once you told me I was trying to make a big decision, and you said, "Is there peace in that decision?" And you said, because if there's not, then it's not of the Lord.
That's right.
So use that as your litmus test. Is there peace or is there calm?
Let the peace of God rule in your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good rule, to let the peace rule.
Mm-hmm. And a good test, too, if we're like trying.
Which direction?
It's a good test if we are looking at something and trying to make a decision. Use that as our litmus test.
Yep. Always, always pick the path where you have the most peace. Because sometimes we don't hear or we don't get clear direction. Our mind is too busy, or evaluating too many options, or we really want something so bad that we're not listening to the peace in our heart. We're not listening to the Lord. So check the peace in your heart. If you're making a decision, make the decision that gives you the most peace.
I know there have been instances, for example, where I really wanted a job, a specific job, and I didn't get it. And I was so frustrated. I felt defeated. And after thinking about it, I realized that maybe there's a reason. You know, it took a little bit of time.
Sure, you got to let the emotions kind of calm down a little
bit. But I went to that place of, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, you know, all the things that we do. And the enemy was doing that, like feeding me that. And later it turns out that there was another job here, or, you know, I got a promotion, or there was something that happened that the Lord had prepared for me. And he, on that one that I thought that I wanted, my agenda, like, here, serve it up, Lord. He was like, no, not yet. That's not it. So instead of freaking out and doing all the things that we do as humans, let's just stop when something doesn't go our way. And instead of saying, oh, God must not, God's testing me, God must not want this, God doesn't like me, stop and say, maybe he loves me so much that there's something better. Because we know that everything that he gives us is way better than what we could ever imagine.
Yeah, and I always kind of chuckle when I hear somebody say that, you know, like, oh, God must be testing me.
He's punishing me.
or he's putting me through the ringer.
To strengthen me.
Or to make me stronger or whatever. It's sad, but it kind of makes me chuckle, because I wonder, for those of you who are parents, would you do that to your child?
No.
No. And if you wouldn't do that to your child, why in the world do you think God would do that to you? I mean, I've heard people actually say this, and they believed it, that God gave them this sickness so that it can be used as a witness.
I've heard God will only give you what you can handle, so you must be really strong. No. No.
Yeah.
Or this too shall pass. I'm like, that is not a scripture. Please stop using that. This too shall pass. It's not in the Bible.
Yes.
And people think that that's a scripture. Yes. And it would drive me.
It sounds very King James-ish.
I know. But when I was in my deepest, darkest place, you know how many people said that? I said, I'm going to just get a rusty
stick. You're going to pass right now.
I couldn't. I cannot stand when someone says that. I know they mean well, because they don't know what else to say. Yeah. I'm like, please don't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that we need to remember always with religious doctrines, especially, Jesus made a very clear statement, and he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He was the exact perfect representation of the Father. So before you go to believe in something, you make sure that you can find a place in Scripture where that is supported from Jesus.
That's good. That would be the red parts.
That would be the red parts, yes. And if you can find an example where Jesus made somebody sick to make them stronger, you let me know.
And now let's not go.
And I'll change my.
Let's not go back into the Old Testament and some of the things that happened in there, because that's different.
That was a whole different time, and that was under the law.
Right. So, but people will go back and say, but they had the flood, they had the, I don't know, the bugs, they had all those things that.
And we need to be very thankful, because just like a limb that's got gangrene in it, or that's got an infection in it, sometimes you have to cut that limb off to save the body.
And that's
we need to be very thankful that God was willing to do that, because that led to right now our ability to be saved. Mm-hmm.
But I point that out because people look back at that Old Testament and think it's the same as the New Testament, which it's not. And I was one of those.
Oh, I was too.
I thought, well, he did this here, an eye for an eye.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the importance of looking at the Old Testament and learning all of the things that you can learn there, but you have to view it through the lens of the New Testament, the new covenant that Jesus brought in. It's very, very different and very special times that we live in because of what Jesus did, including purchasing our salvation, the sozo, the shalom that we have right now. Nobody has ever had that since Adam. Adam and Eve were the only two that had that. And when they fell, nobody has had that until Jesus. It's an amazing thing to dig in and learn. But the more you read, the more you notice those things in the new covenant, you're going to be blown away. And you'll realize how far, far below our inheritance and our birthrights we've been living.
I love here that he said peace to you both times, because he's the Lord of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that shalom, that perfect peace, is what he brought. He brought it with him. He told them, peace be with you.
That's right. And that tetelestai that we talked about yesterday, that ushered in peace with God, peace between mortal enemies. We were mortal enemies of God because of the sin problem. And tetelestai wiped it out.
So good.
And now we are children. If we are believing, if we are trusting in him for our eternal salvation and trusting him in him in faith, we are his children.
There's one more thing here, where he says, receive the Holy Spirit. He's setting him up for Pentecost.
He is.
Love it.
But, you know, that's a good thing to point out, because there is a difference. When you believe, you have the Holy Spirit come and dwell inside of you. Mm-hmm. And that was what Jesus was initiating here. Pentecost, which is a week of weeks from tomorrow, which is Resurrection Sunday, a week of weeks, 49 days. The day after that is the Feast of Pentecost. That's where the Holy Spirit was given in power, which is what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is something far different. That's where the power comes.
Got the power.
The New Testament word, the Greek word for that power, is dunamis. Do you know what English word comes from dunamis?
Dynamite.
Dynamite. The explosive power of God comes on you when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
And that's far, far different.
Oh,
you'll see.
Guess what we're doing next?
Oh, what?
The fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. And you can't get the fruit unless you have the Spirit.
Yes, that's right. And if you're a believer, you have the Spirit, and that fruit resides in you.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to give you a little teaser.
Yep. So we will be moving from this daily 40 days to once a week podcast at this point. And we'll be starting with the fruit of the Spirit. And we're starting, we're going to take a week off and then starting on Tuesdays.
Yes.
Because Tuesday seems to be the day that you folks are all tuning in. So we want to honor that and really be respectful of the days that work best for you. So we're going to be publishing or broadcasting, what do you say? Is it broadcasting? On Tuesdays.
Yes. And I think we should really take a moment to thank you for joining us through this journey. It's been an amazing experience for us, and we hope that we've communicated it and well enough to you that it was an amazing experience for you as well, as we dug into the scriptures and shared those insights that we had, or that the Lord gave us. So we appreciate you so much, and we thank you for joining with us. It's been a long 40 days, and
it's been so good.
It's been so good.
And thank you for all your messages that you've sent us privately, the ratings that we're starting to get on our podcast, so that as we move up on the ratings, the more people can be blessed by the word of the Lord in what he shares with us, what he places on our heart, and we share out here.
Yes. And thank you for putting those reviews and those ratings in there. That's amazing, and that helps us tremendously. So we love you and we appreciate you, and we pray that you have an amazing Resurrection Sunday tomorrow. May you walk into that day with a greater understanding of what it meant and what that began.
And what it took to get there. And then we'll see you back here on the 18th.
On the 18th will be our next podcast, and we'll begin our weekly series on the fruit of the Spirit. We'd love to have you join with us. So on that note, my love, would you like to pray us out?
I would love to pray us out. My Lord and my God, thank you so much for this past 40 days, for just filling us up with what it took to get us to this day, what it took to get us to Resurrection Sunday, all that your beloved Son did on our behalf, all that he gave up, all that he willingly gave up. We're just so grateful. We're so grateful that you loved us so much, that you gave your Son at the cross, that we were able to learn from these scriptures, from all these accounts, so that we can apply it to our everyday. We just ask that in those moments when we're fearful, anxious, doubtful, when we're sad, when we're angry, that you point us back to this word, to your word, and you just help remind us that the Holy Spirit lives within us because of this day, because of what Christ did, that we have him inside of us, be able to talk to you at any moment of the day. We're so thankful for that. It's just wonderful that we have this guide, this Spirit that just directs us and helps us love people, helps us with our patience, helps us remember that, you know, we should be in a joyful moment. We should be thankful and joyful and just have gratitude. That we should love our brothers and sisters, even if, even when, even then. Even in the moments where we're like, oh, I don't really like that person, but I know that I need to love them, just like Jesus loved us. So we just ask that you guide us back to the Word. We ask that you continue to call us in to sit down with us and have amazing conversation and just love on us big. We're so thankful that all of our sins are not just brushed over with the blood of Christ, but they're washed away so that we're just sinless at this point. We ask that we continue on that path of righteousness so that we're doing things as we should for our benefit, but to put a smile on your face. Gosh, I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude. I don't want to lose this feeling. I want to remember this feeling. I want to remember everything that Christ did. And I want to remember most of all that resurrection. So that was that fulfillment so that we could be joint heirs in everything, everything that you've promised. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this walk with Jesus and this reflection on your word and your love. In your precious name, all God's children said,
Amen. And amen.
And amen.
Amen. Well, bless you, brothers and sisters.
We love you so much.
We love you and we appreciate you.
We wish you a happy Easter.
Yes. And we would love to bless you with some perfect peace. Shall we?
Yes.
Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next time.
Bye. We love you.